pareja.
Because there's a war for your soul.
Yes, indeed, there is a war, and it is at every level. Thank you, Lord God, for your kingdom, that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, in and through us, through our lives, through our relationships, as it's being done and declared in heaven. Lord God, we thank you that you sent Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for dying in our place. Thank you for receiving the courage to shed your blood, pay in full the debt that was demanded by sin and death, that we could be free, that we're ransomed by your love and brought into the fullness of your kingdom even now, to be included in your plan, your purposes, and your kingdom coming on this earth. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for also giving us power over all the power of the enemy, power to bind, power to loose, power to love, power to forgive, power to love our enemies and even forgive them. Lord God, I thank you that for that power to release them from our judgment and turn them and their crimes and the situation the enemy has used them in over to you, that the enemy himself might be judged for what he has done. I thank you also, Lord, for the divine protection over all of us. God, cover us, Lord. We need your divine inspiration, protection, anointing, direction for our families, for those who work for us, pray for us, and love us, that you cover and keep us, Lord God, in all that you've set before us to do. We thank you, Jesus. You're the wonderful counselor. Holy Spirit, guide us now in this conversation. In Jesus' name, Father, we ask these things. Amen. Hey, we're going to be talking about something that the Lord started a conversation with us and on through the radio a couple of weeks ago. We started talking about Adam and Eve and the curses that were set up in the garden. And today we're going to look at Adam and what happened as a result of his responses to the question the Lord set before him. Why don't you read what went on there in chapter 3?
Yeah, well, in Genesis chapter 3, you know, and of course, Eve was tempted by the serpent and she took of the fruit and said, hey, this is really good. And Adam says, okay, I'll try some too. And then God comes along and says, Adam, where are you? And so he's hiding from the presence of the Lord God in the garden. And he said, well, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And then, you know, and then he blames the woman, right? Mm-hmm. The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and it's like she did not force it down his throat.
Well, you know, the thing is, so, but going back, you know, he said, okay, they've been communicating with God, and now they had stepped aside. They actually, after they ate that fruit, they became aware of their nakedness, and they sewed the fig leaves together, and they hid from God. Well, that's why God asked Adam, "Where are you?" He already knew where Adam was.
Yeah, he's just like, "Oh, come out, wherever you are." Mm-hmm. And you know, of course, yeah, he says basically, "Where are you in your position
now,
in your relationship with me?" Mm-hmm. You know, where are you? You've gone someplace.
Well, then God asked him. He said, "Have you eaten of the fruit?" Because before that, he was naked, but was not aware of it. I believe because the glory of God, the light of God's power and glory, was covering them, and they didn't see that nakedness. But when that light, that internal light of the glory of God, went out, then they became aware of their nakedness, and they were then God was, you know, was also aware that they'd eaten the fruit. They kind of there was an obvious exposure of what had happened. And so when God said to him, have you eaten the fruit of the tree? I mean, God already knew that, you know, and Adam maybe knew that he knew that. But the man caught off guard in a moment of, this is the first time he has to give an account of himself. Before that, all the conversations were good and kind and gracious and mutual. But so he had to give an account. So he said, the woman. So the first thing he said, the first two words, the woman was blaming whom you gave me, the woman you gave me. So he was blaming what he was going to say next, what had happened, on the woman. It was her fault. She gave me of the tree and I ate. Now, let's just stop right there for a minute. We'll go to the woman at some other point in time. But God said, He was blaming God. He did not admit to anything. He did not verbally, technically confess or repent or acknowledge or, like I said, admit to anything he had done. He pushed the blame back on the woman and on God for giving him that woman. Now, remember, the reason God gave him the woman in the first place was because why?
He needed so much help.
He needed a helpmate, and he was lonesome.
He needed someone comparable to him, it says. Mm-hmm. And King James, it says, I will make someone meet for him, which means
comparable
mm-hmm. to him, someone that he can relate to.
So someone that was basically on his same level.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, Adam was taken from the soil, and the name Adam means red clay or red dirt. And the woman was not taken from the soil. She wasn't taken from the earth. She was taken from the side
from Adam,
of, from his from side, the,
from
his
from
rib.
Rib.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
So she was taken out of him. So there, she came forth from him, but also mankind has come forth from her. So it's kind of like a mutual interaction. So she was precious. She was his. But in the midst of every pressure and every test, like, you know, there's a pressure to blame someone else, to deny that you did anything wrong. And the pressure that comes that way is because we don't want to do things wrong, and we want to make sure that we're innocent and we're right. And so in order to keep ourselves innocent, we want to put the blame on someone else so that we maintain our innocence. And I think that's what was happening. He blamed the woman. Now, the thing is, like you said, he didn't have to eat it. I believe if he wouldn't have eaten it, the curse would have not come. I believe he was the one who had the final say on what was going to go on. But he was afraid, I suppose, that he was going to lose his relationship with his wife, even though now he's mad at her. But just look what happened, Jerry, when he did that. What happened when he lost faith in his wife?
Well, this is something that's there's a distrust there,
mm-hmm.
you know, that remains a lot of times. Distrust is common in a lot of marriages, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Part of it is because of our behavior. The behavior that some guys don't trust their wives, some guys' wives don't trust their husbands,
right.
Because
so,
they've proven themselves untrustworthy.
Well, here we go.
In various
it
ways.
It began here with this, that they'd lost trust, they'd lost confidence, they'd lost faith in one another, and she now is being blamed. So how is she handling all this? Well, she went up to the plate and said, when the Lord asked her, the woman, what have you done? So she was asked basically the same question. And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So she confessed that she ate. She also said it was the serpent that deceived her. But Adam didn't, he was not deceived by the serpent. He was deceived by the woman. So he blamed the woman, she blamed the serpent. But at the same time, who she blamed was correct. And so God dealt accordingly with the serpent, with the man, and with the woman. But so now, you know, here she is, built to be a helpmate for him. A companion, someone he could love and trust and cherish, someone who was precious to him, because she had been taken from his very rib side, and now he's not believing her, he's not trusting her, he's mad at her, he's angry, and you know, here it is, the woman that was created by God to be a helpmate to her husband nowadays, if that woman tries to help that husband, which we're built to want to do that, remember, because God built us to want to do that. The man doesn't perceive it as help. It's interference. It's control. It's
nagging.
you don't trust me. You know, you don't have any confidence in me. So this is a really serious problem in almost every single marriage. And we're talking about marriage problems here in a new way, because there's this original root, this original sin. That the rejection of the woman's gifts and talents and one of her talents and abilities to help the man, I think, is to influence him through her intuition, through her awareness spiritually. She's very spiritually aware. And when she wants to warn him about something, women are more spiritually, I think, in tune. They're the first ones to get saved. Usually there's more women in the church. There's more women seeking God. Mm-hmm. There was more women at the cross, at the tomb. I mean, the women aren't, they're not cowards. The men weren't at the cross. They weren't at the foot of the cross. They were hiding out somewhere. Not to say, but the women were just more spiritually sensitive.
Well, and what's wrong with this picture? I mean, God designed
the man to be the leader.
The image of God to be the leader.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that, you know, just frankly, a lot of men have just abdicated.
Right.
Abdicated their leadership.
From their position.
And their responsibilities as husbands, as fathers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll let the woman take care of the kids. And mm-hmm. certainly the woman nurtures and cherishes the kids, but many times it's like, where's dad?
Yeah, exactly.
Where's dad?
Absent fathers,
so
they've run away.
We got absent fathers because, you know, most people that are in prison are, you know, had
no fathers.
No father mm-hmm. influence.
Yeah, but going back to
the
beginning, this is the beginning. That's the end. This is the beginning. And so here we have Adam. He's angry. He's upset. He's frustrated. He maybe is a bit anxious and defensive about what's going on. But the bottom line is he didn't say what Eve said. She said, I ate. I did it. I was deceived, but I ate. So she's confessing a sin. The Bible says, if you confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, you'll be healed. Confession and repentance are the way to break a curse. But have you noticed how men, it is so hard for men
to admit they're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I don't know if it's just a macho thing, a pride thing.
I think it's a this thing. I think this is the problem.
Because basically, we don't see any signs of Adam repenting.
No, there's no record of him.
He's blaming, but he's not repenting.
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
he's just, but he's living now according to fear.
Right.
And how many men, I think men are very fearful for the most part.
Well, because they think they have a lot of pressure on them. They think they've got to be the leader, and yes, that's true. But they're not casting their cares upon the Lord and letting him lead through them. They're making their own way, proving themselves. Again, it's all about proving I'm innocent, proving I'm macho, proving I'm right. And so I can't confess because people are afraid if they confess anything that they're admitting they made a mistake or they're wrong. And if we confess that we're wrong, then we're not right. And if we're not right, then we think we've lost our righteousness. But we don't realize our righteousness doesn't come from being right or perfect. It comes from the righteousness of Jesus Christ appropriated to us. And so here we have a lot of today. I mean, even today, look at it. You've got a lot of men that are hard to live with. Now, here's the problem with the curse. As the curses came down on the woman, the curse was, you know, we know the part about being multiplying your sorrow and conception, pain in childbirth, blah, blah, blah. Your desire, listen to this, your desire shall be for your husband and he shall have the rule over you. But what if he has the rule over you and he doesn't like you? He doesn't trust you. He blames you. He doesn't receive your counsel, your influence, your advice, because he's going to be the man and you're going to shut up and sit down. A lot of men mistreat. Women have been very oppressed over the course of time. Mm-hmm. If the two populations, male and female, were compared, it was the women that have been the most trampled under because they're physically weaker and because Satan hates them a lot. And I think he uses men to hurt them because the curse is the desire is going to be for your husband and he shall rule over you. But what if you marry a man who's a narcissist or he's blaming or he's never repented?
Yeah, the idea of ruling, does that mean, you know, a husband is to be a leader, not a dictator? You know, some people, some guys think, oh man, I just got to, you know, she's got to submit to me and stuff like that. But I think if we're going to right where we are today, a lot of men are just gone.
Well, they're full of deaf and dumb and deaf and dumb spirits. They're passive. They're angry. They're avoidant. I'm not saying women don't do these things, but I'm saying the women are the reactors. The mm-hmm. men are the actors. They initiate. They take the lead. And so if the woman is, you know, this is my little analogy. If you marry a man that you has a rule over you, your desire is to please him, desire to help him, and he doesn't want your help. And at the same time, he doesn't want your help. He's undermining you by gaslighting you and telling you you're the problem mm-hmm. and you're the reason mm-hmm. why he's, again, blame. You're the reason why I'm not doing this because you burnt the toast, because you aren't a good wife. If you'd be more of a good wife, if we could have more sex, whatever, then you would be I'd be a better man. So it's always about she's not doing something right, so that gives him an excuse to do something wrong. And this is but goes right back down to the very, very core of salvation. We have to repent. We have to confess. Jesus says, confess your sin. And men don't, for the most part. They have a very hard time humbling themselves and admitting they did anything wrong. It's like impossible. That's the curse. The curse that's coming down is men have not been able to humble themselves and ask God for forgiveness, confess their sin, admit they're hard to live with, or admit that they're afraid, or admit that their anger is causing their children to be upset. I hear these stories all the time about men who are, you know, being, and they're supposed to be Christian men. They're supposed to be men who are, you know, religious. They're serving on the board of their church, or they're in the worship team, or they're a pastor, or they're, you know, a member of some legalistic religious congregation somewhere. And they're basically, you know, in the church, they look good. But when outside of the church, they're just unbelievably evil.
Mm-hmm.
And no one would ever believe that, because they've got such, they're so two-faced, or they're so hypocritical, or they're so demonized, I think is the better word. So the demons have given them assistance in helping them cover their sin and making them look good in front of people.
Yeah, and another thing too, a lot of men have just plain checked out on things. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've checked out on their families. You know, they will sire children and don't have anything to do with them.
Or they
control, how many
yeah.
people are in that situation?
Many.
You know, we're okay. You're
well.
You've sired some children, but you're not leading them. You're not taking care of them. You're not nurturing. You're not
mm-hmm.
raising. Don't know what your role is as a husband
mm-hmm.
to nourish and cherish, as it says in Ephesians, the wife, and to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Most guys have no clue how to do that
mm-hmm.
because most guys have not
submitted
seen
to God.
It happen in their own family.
Right.
And who's there to show them? Who's there to model that for them? Very few are there to model that proper biblical privilege and responsibility to the wife and the children.
Well, they think if they provide for the household.
I mean, I love you. I mean, I go to work every day. Doesn't that say I love you? Well, yeah, that's part of it. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then sometimes.
But there's no emotional support. There's no
right.
There's no nurturing. And in Ephesians, it said the husband is supposed to, like Christ, the husband is supposed to love his wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So this is a matter of give. This is a covenant relationship where she gives all that she has. He gives all that he has. Just like Christ gave all that he had for the church, for us, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water of the word. So the man is supposed to work on or be the one helping the woman be established, sanctified, made holy, that as Jesus presents the church to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, obviously, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. But if you realize man is, the woman came from the man, she is bone of his bone, so to speak, and he is mistreating her, then obviously, bottom line is he does not love himself, because you can't mm-hmm. love someone else if you don't love yourself. And I think the reason they don't love themselves is because they don't know how to be who they are. They don't know how to be the man, the husband, the father that they're called to be, because they're bound with proving themselves right or surviving or making a living. And then so what happens then when this is out of order, when this is out of alignment, when the men aren't serving God and leading their families in righteousness and holiness and sanctifying their family, then the woman, she comes out of alignment. She's now going to take over the job because mm-hmm. the man is gone, abandoned his children. So now she's got to be the father and the mother. She's got to raise the children. And sometimes that's better than if he stays. Because when he stays and resists everything and beats up his children or abuses his wife or whatever, it becomes just a chaos and tragedy.
Another part of this, too, is that walking on some eggshells here, maybe. But, you know, you look at our society and culture right now. We have more and more women in leadership positions.
Right.
And many of them are doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it's like, where are the guys? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you look at, in the political spectrum, you think, okay, and you see the candidates and we think, is this the best we can come up with
to lead
in our nation and so forth? But here's another thing. I think part of it is, too, is that, you know, who goes to the school board meetings? It's the women. Who has the prayer meetings? It's the women.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God for the women, because they're They're keeping things going.
Okay, so the question is, why aren't the men there? Why are they gone? Where have they gone? And I believe part of it is they've abdicated because they are still not re-included. See, once we admit we're wrong and we confess our sin and we repent, God reincorporates us into his body, into his church, into the purposes to which he's called us. If, however, we're not submitting to him, not submitting to the Holy Spirit, not confessing our sin because we don't have the, I don't know, the conviction, I don't know, or we're resistant. There's something in us that resists the Spirit of God. Then we're going to be making up our own religions and are building our own churches and doing our own religious things outside of the grace and permission and glory of God. And so that's kind of this empire building. Some men are into empire building and ego building. And to address your question, I believe the women are in these positions of leadership or whatever because they showed up, because they volunteered,
abdicated many cases.
And so, and then everything's out of whack because it's out of order.
If you look at an order, you know, there's God the Father, right? And there's Jesus, you know, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and then the Godhead, okay? And then you've got, you know, the man, the woman, the women, and the children. I mean, that's the order.
Of authority.
That's the order of authority. Now, authority, again, does not mean that you just lord it over. You're a dictator. You're some kind of narcissist that everything has got to go
your way.
My way. And if you, like we mentioned earlier, if you'd be a better wife, I would be a better husband. And it's very twisted.
Because it's all about blame. It's all about not taking true responsibility for what has gone on. And I really believe that the issues we're having today in 2024 come from the garden. I really believe that if the men, that demonic pattern of blaming and abdicating and rejecting.
Not repenting.
You know, that pattern of not repenting.
What happened?
Hardness of heart.
God said, well, you're going to have to work harder. You're going to have weeds and thistles and stuff like that. Your work's going to be hard. You're going to be sweating in your job. And then, but he said to the serpent, you're going to eat dust, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be put down. And then he said to the woman, but he said, you're going to have the pain in childbearing, yet you're going to bring forth the head crusher.
Right.
You're going to bring the seed of the woman, which is Jesus Christ, is going to crush the head of the serpent.
Well, so that's because she admitted. She admitted what had happened, and she admitted she ate the fruit. Now, if the men, and this I believe, once the men start to be set free from this curse, and it's a pattern, and if you see this going on in your relationship with your husband or with your wife or whatever, go back to chapter 3 of Genesis and Adam, confess, I ate the fruit. I, of my own free will, did it. I didn't have to do it. The wife wasn't, you know, she was influencing, obvious, but she didn't have a knife to his throat, I am sure. So, guys, it is time for you to bow the knee to the Lord God and submit to him so that you can be restored into your rightful places of leadership. Then the families, then the sons, then the prodigals will come home. Men have got to be set free from this curse. And the way you get set free from a curse is, first of all, to identify it and admit it. So here's the first step, and it's the first step that's hardest to take. I admit I've been operating under the spirit of fear or anxiety or control or self-righteousness or blaming other people, denying that I have any wrongdoing or any responsibility in this thing. We have to stop doing that and say, Lord God, I'm the man. I'm the one. Forgive me. You know, and David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, nothing got better until he admitted he was the one who had done it.
That's right.
It took the prophet coming after him with a parable, putting his life in his hands to tell David, hey, David, this is why this is going on. Why didn't David see it himself? He's such a man of God. Well, I suppose he did see it, but at the same time, he was terrified.
He was trying to hide it.
Hiding. And men try to hide under their power or their authority or the fact that they're a man or whatever. They don't want to submit to the Lord.
Yeah. Scripture says, he who covers his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever shall confess and forsake shall have mercy. And another thing, too, is that train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Mm-hmm. In other words, in the way that he should go. Mm-hmm. Sometimes what we do as men and parents, we have this vision for our kids. You know, they're supposed to be a athlete or a musician or whatever it is, and we
push them
into something that's not them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the discernment is so important for mm-hmm. you dads and moms.
Walking in
your
the spirit
child,
of God.
Mm-hmm. If you still have children at home particularly, what is their bent? How are they wired? They're not necessarily going to be exactly what you think they should
be. Well, they're going to model themselves.
They should be what God has called them to be, but they're going to look at you mm-hmm. as a model. And the model is so important, not only your words, but how you live. And so we are called as fathers to help, you know, especially with sons. It's if you have sons, to train them. Okay, how do you treat a lady? What's your calling? If you're to be married, how are you to be a man, a husband? So the training ground mm-hmm. has been kind of messed up.
Well,
the abuse,
the self-righteousness, the denial, I think it's really a spiritual blindness and hardness of heart, the abuse of not honoring those who are weaker, the ones that God has placed over you, you know, your wife, your children, to not protect them, not love them, not nurture them with the truth. So I really believe, let's just spend a few minutes here breaking this curse, attacking it, addressing it. So, Lord God, first of all, I just ask, and Jerry, you can pray in a minute, I'm just going to set this up,
yep.
that you, men, please, for God's sake, literally, for your family's sake, indeed, repent. Stop believing lies, the lies of blaming, rejecting help, rejecting counsel, taking it personally, being offended, acting like everybody else has to do what you say, or on the other hand, you being Ahabbed. You know, that happens too. People are Ahabbed because the Jezebels are done with their sniveling, absent husbands. There's all kinds of things that can go wrong if you're not in spiritual leadership. So here's the bottom line. Ask the Lord what you need to repent of, what you need to confess in your relationship with God. Do you need to own up to your sin? Do you need to confess to Him? You need to submit to Him that He is the Lord God. And then we can go forward from there to break the curse.
Some of you guys listening right now, you have evil secrets. Mm-hmm. It's not a secret to God. It might be a secret to your wife, to your children, to your co-workers, to your church, your pastor. Maybe you're a pastor and there's secret things going on that are evil. You need to repent of those before it's too late. Turn from those things.
Mm-hmm.
Do it today. Do it
Confess
now.
It now.
Confess and forsake. The Bible says if you confess and forsake, you'll have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
You cover your sin, you'll not prosper. But if you confess and forsake, God will give you mercy and help and grace.
You're being held hostage by fear and shame if you don't confess because you're afraid of what's going to happen. What are people going to think? And so fear, the demon of fear and the demon of shame are holding you hostage and keeping you from your relationship with the Lord God and with yourself and with your wife or children.
And some of you guys listening right now, you're living a double life. You might be all nice and religious on the outside and everybody thinks you're just super great. But let inside, you got rottenness going on in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You got lust, you got fear, you got
compromise,
pride,
double-mindedness, adultery, affairs,
yeah, all this that's
indiscretion,
going on,
seduction.
Father.
You've been seduced by these women because you're open to fear, and the gate is not closed. And so now the enemy comes in to come in for the kill. And so you've got to get yourself right before God, confess. And if you have these terrible secrets, go and tell the truth, tell on yourself before the Lord God, can repent and mm-hmm. ask God for the repentance and the gift of mercy and forgiveness for yourself and for the others.
And it's time to wake up. It's time to rise up and be the man. Even if your kids are grown and gone, you know, it's not too late
Father God.
to love them, nurture them, And there might be some things that where it has been too late, but mm-hmm. you can still change and nourish. And if you need to confess to your kids about certain things that you've failed to do, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
So we confess to the Father, first of all, to the Father God.
Yeah.
Lord God, we come before you to confess the sins and to pray that the men, the Adams of this world, the curse of Adam, the Adam curse, will be taken off of the men in this world, that you have created to be the leaders, the spiritual protectors, the heads of their home, the lovers of their wives, Lord God, the nurturers of their families. We ask that this curse, we are now exposing this pattern mm-hmm. that has come down since Adam upon all human men, males. Father God, in Jesus' name, we're bringing it before you, and we're asking for grace and mercy. Actually, Lord, the first thing we do here as we've identified this is to forgive the men. Forgive them for, we forgive them all for being ignorant, for blaming, for being afraid, for not knowing who they are, for abdicating, for lying, deceiving, abusing, and all the other things that they have done, everything they've done except one thing, and that is to admit or confess confess their sin. So, Father, we break that curse. We bring it before you, Lord God, and we ask, as we forgive the men who have not been able to break free from this, Father, mm-hmm. we bring them to the court of heaven right now. We forgive all the men who've been hurtful, harmful, mean to their families. We forgive them, Father, because they don't even know how powerful this demonic curse of blaming the woman and not repenting has been holding them captive, Lord God. I pray that you'd make them lovers of you, Lord God, sensitive to their wives, Father God, and that the demonic spirits who hold these patterns and curses in place would now be judged through the testimony of Jesus Christ, who was the witness to what happened in the garden. I pray, oh God, that he would bear witness to the truth and that the court would receive this testimony, this petition, that the men would be set free to forgive and be forgiven, to confess their sins and take on their spiritual positions as you've called them to in Jesus' name.
Yeah, I say to you, men, just rise up now. Once you repent and you turn from this and you get it out, You ask for forgiveness, you receive the forgiveness of the Lord and freedom, deliverance. Then rise up and mm-hmm. be that loving husband that he's called you to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever your situation is, some of you are in, you know, been divorced and all this, so you're in a situation,
yet.
But we're mm-hmm. calling, mm-hmm. We're calling for you to be the man of God he's called you to be, regardless of where you are in your marriage or lack of marriage relationship. Father, grandfather, great-grandfather, rise up and be the man mm-hmm. that God has called you to be.
Amen.
See what it's like in the Scriptures. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 or 5 and other places in the Scripture. There's not many good examples of godly men in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
There's some, thank God for the ones, but a lot of them are not good examples. But look at the exemplary ones, and if you know some exemplary man, that
pray for
that
them.
You
thank
respect
God for them.
Yeah. You know, connect with them.
Mm-hmm. We're not
maybe some older guy or something. To get together with them, pray with him, and learn. Let's learn from one another.
Yes, we're not here to accuse anyone. We're here to invite, and we're also asking now, Holy Spirit, by the power of your presence and your job down here to be with us, bringing forth justice and righteousness and truth and revelation, that you will draw the men of God back to God and back to their families, that the women who've been praying for their husbands don't have to wait till their deathbed to see their prayer answered. We forbid that they will now turn. Now is the time to turn, and that all the demonic blindness, spiritual blindness, hardness of heart, all the witchcraft that's been practiced against the men be removed, let their eyes see and their ears hear and their heart receive, and the Spirit of God convict them, and may they just literally all over hundreds and thousands of men fall on their face before God, repent, and address the issues that Adam could not address. Now it's time to rise up and be the men God has called you and appointed you to be in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There's a book you have called Doing Relationships God's Way.
Oh, yeah. It's on my website, liferecovery.com. We invite you to go there, check it out. There's a lot of really powerful things there. There's a bunch of chapters in there that would really help. One is on relationships with difficult people. One is about your relationship with yourself. So check it out, liferecovery.com.
I have an emergency. What is your location?
Because there's a war for your soul.